Okay, we're just waiting for the last couple of people to roll in.
Where's he at?
He's running out of
time. I want him to walk in late.
Now, then you have to call him out.
Yeah.
Should I attack?
Close the door.
Now, do you give me permission to go on my phone? Text someone?
Then you're not recording this year.
Yeah. Okay, welcome everyone. We very excited about being able to learn together a little bit over the course of the next few minutes. Hopefully, whatever session you attended in the last slot was an introduction a little bit into what we're trying to learn tonight. And Rabbi Hirschl and I are going to really break down our session into the following. I'm going to refer mostly to the world of playing sports, to being involved in, actively engaged in playing sports, and Hirschl will take over the floor to discuss a little bit about the world of following sports, and then we will open up the floor to some questions and try to see where that takes us. So I'm just going to begin with how I want to outline this. I'm going to present three of the most positive outlooks that we can have on sports, why sports are something that can really impact us in positive ways, and our investment and our engagement in sports can really inspire us, can really move us, can really allow us to become the best versions of ourselves. Then we're going to discuss three perhaps negative attributes that sports bring out in people, and hopefully over the course of our discussion, we'll talk about some real things, some things that many of you are going through, have gone through, anticipate going through as you continue your lives playing ball and playing hockey and doing whatever it is when you make your way back to your schools. So just at the outset, I just want to present the fact that we live in a world in which our lives are very, very quick. We live in a world where many of you have pressures at home, in school, socially, and in all of these different areas that you find yourselves living in. And one of the ways in which the Rambam describes a person is supposed to go through life is that a person needs to have outlets. A person needs to have a way in which they can channel their energies. A person is supposed to have this ability to be able to make their way through life and to have outlets, to have things to do that the Gemara refers to as to be misachik im leviyasan, to go and have a good time, to go and have fun, to go and enjoy yourself. So from my personal perspective, I love playing ball. I love playing sports. It's something I spend a lot of time doing. And I find it to be an outlet that not only is healthy, not only is something that is good for my body, but something that I enjoy, something that I have fun doing. And I think that in and of itself is a value. When we think about the outlets and when we think about the things that we're engaged in and the things that we could be engaged in, so sports, in its most unadulterated version, is a very healthy, a very wholesome way of going about finding something that's an outlet. We live, again, in a culture and a society where there are outlets out there that are not nearly as wholesome as sports are and could be. And to find yourself being obsessed with sports, to find yourself being, working on your game all of the time, and to find yourself taking your free time and trying to become a better athlete is a wonderful thing. When we compare it to some of the other outlets that your average 16 and 17 year old boys are involved in, and becoming a great athlete certainly has value on that front. That's idea number one. Certainly, this world of healthy outlets and comparing the outlets and the things that we do in our free time. Playing ball is something that's great, and playing ball is something that is wholesome in nature. Number two, in the positive department, are the things that we can gain and the character traits that we can pick up from playing ball, and not just playing ball in a one-on-one fashion, but often, and in the sports that we're really discussing over here, is the ability to be part of a team. the ability to live and to go and to grow with a group of people, to depend on other people, to know when I can rely on somebody else, to know who I'm passing the ball to know who's capable of doing what on the floor, to be able to look at a 5-on-5, to be able to look at a basketball court and understand that everybody has. This person is a great shooter, and this person is a great rebounder, and this person gets to the basket at will and dishes, you know, on the way up when he draws a double team. So there's something very valuable about that. There's something about that that allows us to recognize and to realize the strengths of other people. And when we think about the way in which we play ball, the way in which we interact with teammates, the way in which we go about things. So there's something, again, wholesome about that experience. When you think about great teams and when you think about what makes a great team, certainly in the NBA and certainly in games that require passing to one another. So every great team must be selfless. Every great team does not have players on it that are selfish, because the second a person starts introducing selfishness into the way in which they play basketball, so their worlds begin to take a turn to the unfortunate I of what the basketball court could look like, of what the hockey rink could look like, of whatever sport it is. And when we understand that everybody on the court has their particular kochos, their particular talents, so it is able to manifest itself into the lives that we live, to understand that our friends could be, we have friends that are great at X and friends that are great at Y and friends that are not so great at A, B, and C. And when we think about our teammates as our friends, when we think about our teammates as people that we're going to spend time with, people that we're going to grow with, to go through life with, that we're going to depend on, whether it's 6 weeks in the summer, whether it's an entire school year. So there's something extremely special about that, and something in understanding the power of a team that's wonderful, that's within the Hashkafas HaTorah, that allows us to understand the way in which people operate. And within that framework, when you go through life with teams that you play on, so those of you that are on teams in 10th grade and 11th grade, and these are going to be guys that you played with your entire, perhaps your middle school and then into high school, so you go through a system in which you go through a lot with a lot of different people. So I happen to teach in a school that's not connected to a lower school. We have a lot of different lower schools that feed into the particular high school that I work in. And we see a lot of different schools send representatives to try out for the JV basketball and hockey teams, the varsity basketball and hockey teams. And it's clear that these boys have never played together before. And when you see groups of kids that spend their entire, in 4th, in 5th, in 6th, in 7th, in 8th, in 9th, in 10th, 11th, in 12th grade, they go through a system together. They go through ups and downs, wins and losses, championship runs and first round of the playoff losses and, seasons that they won one or two games, and they go through that experience together. So they're as close as can be. You watch a group of of guys play ball together that have played ball for so many years together, and there's something just so cohesive about it. They're a unit. I'll just give an example. So some of you are familiar with what I'm about to say, and you watch a team like Flatbush. So Flatbush is a school, and some of you are familiar, those of you that are not. So Flatbush is a school that goes from K to 12. And if you're involved in such a system, so you've been playing ball with the same guys in Deal every summer, and when you come back to Brooklyn, and every single day of your basketball career is with those same exact guys. And going through life with with this group of people that are there to support you, that are there to be there for you at moments of good, at moments of challenge, is something that sports has the ability to provide us with, that add to our entire view in which we look at the world and the way in which we relate to the people that are around us. Now, those things are overwhelmingly positive, and we're gonna pivot now just to some of the negative aspects of sports, and then we'll turn the floor over to Rabbi Herschel. I wonder how many people go through the following thought process when they miss a layup, when they think that they got fouled, when they look at a referee. I wonder how many people respond to a call that a ref makes in a way that I am a great basketball player, I want everybody to know how great of a basketball player I am. And I missed that layup. And the fact that you saw me miss that layup, I need to blame it on something else. Because a guy like me misses a layup on after making a move. And that leads often to this feeling of arrogance. This feeling of, you know, everybody's got to know that I don't miss layups. I don't miss open shots. And the second that the referee makes a call that doesn't go my way, there's no way that I want anybody else to know, you know, how is it possible that this guy went ahead and missed missed the layup on a fast break, or he missed a wide open jump shot to win the game? I had to have gotten fouled. And all of a sudden, we enter into a way in which we play ball, in which our personal agendas are at the forefront of our game. And the second that happens again, the team goes from something that's overwhelmingly selfless to something that's overwhelmingly selfish. The second negative about our obsession with sports is the following. And I think that this is something that's a little bit sensitive to some people, probably not in this room, but something that we should keep in mind, certainly when sports becomes everything and anything that we discuss around the table. There are plenty of people in life that have hobbies that are wonderful, that have hobbies that allow them to do all sorts of different things, that allow them to accomplish incredible things in life, and allow them to succeed in ways that nobody would ever anticipate that they would ever succeed. When we become overwhelmingly obsessed with sports and emphasize sports to such a degree, so there could be people that are walking around this campus. There could be people that are hanging out in your cafeterias in school, and there could be people that are sitting next to you in class that are much better at whatever hobby it is that they do than you are on the hockey rink. They could be whatever it is, whether they're an artist or whether they're a chef or whether they're whatever it is that they do. And the second that we start emphasizing sports in a way that looks at other hobbies and looks at people that have they're inclined to doing different things. They love to whatever it is. We have a couple of boys here, and you guys have all been introduced to it. So they're very athletic. They became invested in this American Ninja Warrior Challenge, right? Now, you could tell me that that's involved in the world of athletics and in the world of sports. It's not a Yeshiva League sport. Yeshiva League pass doesn't have, your American Ninja Warrior on their Instagram every single week about their top five, moments. And this guy is sitting in your class, sitting next to you, and he's accomplished a tremendous amount. He's a gold medalist in whatever sport it is that he's playing, or whatever it is that he's doing. And the second that we emphasize sports over every single other thing in our life and every other hobby that we have, so we find ourselves in a place in which sports becomes something that really gets an overwhelming amount of emphasis. And the last thing I'm going to present to you is the unfortunate world where we measure productivity, we measure success, we measure popularity by athletic ability. And when we live a life and when we live in a world in which everybody needs and strives and dreams about becoming that athlete, and when we create a culture and a society where unless you are that athlete, you are a second-class citizen, so it becomes extremely unfortunate. The social circles that you'll find yourselves in when they're totally centered around the sports that we play, so everything else seems to be secondary to that. And when we think about our productivity in life and the way in which we find meaning in life, if the only way we can be productive is by, flexing our athletic prowess on the basketball court. So we have to rethink the way in which we invest our kohos, our talents, our time, the way in which we, spend the free time that we have. And if the only way I can be productive is, by going out and playing ball and playing ball and playing ball, and that's my measure of productivity and success and, becoming the best person that I can possibly be, so perhaps it's time to rethink that. But what I want to conclude with before I turn it over to Rabbi Herschel is this idea that sports, at least in my mind, I find to be in their proper dosages, an extremely healthy outlet, an extremely wholesome outlet, something that we can do that has a tremendous amount of growth opportunity within it on a teamwork perspective, on a dependence perspective, on an understanding social circles perspective. But as long as we put up the proper shields and the proper safeguards to avoid avoid the unfortunate opposite end of that. So sports can really have a tremendous impact on our lives and can really allow us to grow into the best possible people that we can be. Okay, Rabbi Herschel.
Hey, I didn't realize how much we were going to overlap, so I'm going to speak a little bit shorter. And I hope that you guys have some questions, and we'd love to take questions, first of all.
Welcome.
I want you guys to just for a second, just go through some, maybe we'll go through some memories together. Who was it? David Tyree, the catch. Is that his name? Mm-hmm. David Tyree with a catch. Maybe this is a little bit before your time. Definitely before your time. Derek Jeter, the flip. Watching Michael Phelps win record Olympics. Cal Ripken Jr., way before your time, breaking records of most games played. Some unbelievable, the Johnny Dan Block. Greatness. You see, if you guys ever go to a game, if you've ever been to a sporting event, and you were there with, if it's a basketball or a hockey game, you're there with 16,000 people, everybody in unison, screaming, "Let's go, Knicks," or "Defense." And it's 16,000 people together in unison. That feeling you get. What is that? What is that feeling you guys get when you're there? It's almost unbelievable. It's magical. Go to a football game. I was in America a few years ago. I told my shiur this morning. I went to America for Pesach, and our family is big Islander fans. I know it's a Nebuch, but you know, we came in a few years ago, and we all went to a playoff game. The place was rocking. 16 from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. Just the entire place. They win in overtime. When I was in 1993, I went to a Islanders playoff game. I was 10 years old. I'm aging myself. 10 years old, I went to an Islanders playoff game. Still remember Ray Ferraro. Nobody in this room has heard of him. Ray Ferraro scores in overtime. The place is going nuts. I remember when I was in high school. If you guys even know, I'm really aging. These guys don't know any of this stuff. Aaron Boone's home run off Tim Wakefield. Guys, the excitement. The Yankee Stadium, you almost felt it shaking from my house on the television. It was the first pitch after commercial break. First pitch. A lot of people missed it. But I watched, I saw it, and it was... It's amazing. These experiences as a fan. Then you also have other stories. That same Islander game I was at, ref was going to make, we were sitting 12 rows up, literally our eyes were directly at the ref, and every time he'd make a call, he goes to the middle and makes his call on the speaker. And the guy sitting in front of me, this guy who looks a little bit more put together, looks, the ref's coming over, he's to make a call, to make a penalty call. You're basically looking directly at the ref, mid-ice, 12 rows up, it's like right there. And the guy, I can't even repeat the words the guy said, with two fingers, and they weren't his two thumbs, sticking up. And he was just cursing him out. Animal. When you hear Ron Artest, everybody talks about Ron Artest, right? Everybody knows about Ron Artest going in. But what were the fans doing beforehand? What about when you hear chants? When you hear people, you know, you're the bleacher creatures in Yankee Stadium. Who are those people? Who are those people? Not the guy that's sitting in the front of the shul, that much I'll tell you. The other guy in the front of the shul davening shachris in the morning. So, is there a value? The question is that we're discussing today is there a value in following sports? That's really the question. Because you see such greatness, and we also see something else. Now, the first thing I'm going to tell you is Rav Kook used to say, before you bash something, make sure you bash an outlet, make sure you have another replacement, a healthy replacement for it. So that's what we were speaking about. In a world where drugs, alcohol, pornography, movie addictions, girls, and the like are other hobbies, I would venture to say that following sports is probably a lot better than most of those other things. So before we, I'm not going to walk away, I don't think anybody should walk away and saying, you know what, I'm done watching sports. And I don't think anybody will. But what is the value, if there is any sort of value in following sports? So a lot of things that our Israeli spoke about, I think apply to both. Well, first of all, the Ribbono Shalom wants you to enjoy this world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy it. Pizza is there for your enjoyment. You shouldn't feel guilty about eating pizza and enjoying it. You shouldn't feel guilty about enjoying watching sports. But the problem is when sports becomes a lot more central to our lives than it actually should be. That's where the danger comes in. But let's be honest, you can learn many things from sports. Watching sports. Teamwork is probably most of all. Seeing greatness. Why is everybody rooting always for a new record? We always want a new record. You always want to see, because you just see people who are pushing themselves. When people can run faster than ever before, and not just that, I forgot who it was that broke the record in running. There was some record. What did he do? I forgot what it was. There was some record in under 10 seconds. Nobody had ever run 100-meter dash under 10 seconds. Well before. And then one person broke it.
Roger Bannister.
Roger Bannister. That's from Israel, you see? You remember that one? Breaks it. That same year, over 12 people ran faster. There's clearly something that we can learn. We see. We believe in ourselves. You can believe in yourself. You see greatness. You want to be part of it. I always say this about movies. You know, unless you're that sick guy who really likes the bad guy in movies. You root for the good guy. You root for the chosen one. You always want to see that guy who comes out to be, you know, King Arthur. And you want to see the guy who turns into, you know, you love seeing the movie Miracle. We love seeing the good guys win. You know why? Because it gives us a feeling of, I can do it too. When you watch sports, that's the feeling we get. That's something unbelievable. But the word fan comes from the word fanatic. Fanatic is not somebody who's very thought out, not somebody who's cerebral, who's even keel. The word itself, fan, it says a lot about what sports does to us. Now, the same things, guys, what I always tell people, the number one thing, I'm going to end off soon with a question I want you to really think about, because I'm not going to really say much. One thing I want you to think about, and maybe during this question answer, maybe some of you guys give me answers to this. But I always wonder, why is it that we love sports? Why do we love sports so much? Why do we love teams so much? What about it? You know, if you're going to spend so much time doing something, if you're going to be a guy who spends 10 minutes, 15 minutes, okay, you don't have to answer the question, but you're a guy that watches for hours, every Sunday, you watch sports. You know, we deal with this a lot in yeshiva. This is not the first time I've ever thought of this topic. You know, in yeshivas, you know, in high school's okay. I understand. When you're in yeshiva, Sunday night, if your team's playing the late game, the 8 o'clock game at night on a Sunday night, or if there's playoffs are going on, there's always that question. Should I stay up and watch the game? I'm sure you've had many friends have had that question when they were in yeshiva. I'm sure you've done it. But this is a question. Where are our priorities? Because everybody agrees, I think, that sports is fun. To watch sports. Everybody likes to watch highlights. I want you guys to answer this question. If you're going to spend so much time doing something, I sure hope you have a reason for doing it. I sure hope you have an answer for what is it about it that you love about it. There used to be something called you had a favorite team. Now, the only people that follow teams are people who are your teams in first place. Otherwise, what do you have? You have your fantasy team. I feel like fantasy is like destroyed, just the idea of sports in general. So it used to be people used to follow teams. And you know what? You know what the greatness of winning a World Series, after not winning a World Series for however many years the Red Sox didn't win for? 86. And you, 86 years? Of the Chicago Cubs, Nebuch? Chicago Cubs, Nebuch? Guys, you know what? You know what the greatness of if they ever will win a World Series is going to be? The ups and downs, the difficulties, the struggles, the following them when they're terrible. The following them, right? What's always the answer? It's like, yo, who do you like? I'm a Lakers fan. No, I was a Lakers fan even when they were bad. You know, that's always what the guy says, you know? Like, no, you weren't. And they were never bad. And, but there's something beautiful about sticking with something. About being a fan is about feeling you're part of something. I always thought that being a sports fan is about feeling you're part of something. We're going to win it all this year. You're attaching yourself to something. You're attaching yourself to something bigger than yourself. 16,000 people. There's like, you love being part of that. Going to a game. You don't want to go to an away game. You want to go to a home game. You just want to attach yourself to something great. But how many of us, the second, you know, fantasy, you know, as soon as our team isn't good, okay, I at least have my fantasy team. It's not a question of sports is okay or not. Of course, you can learn something from it. That could be a muster saver for you. But how much time do we spend watching sports? Because that's really the question you have to ask yourself, why? Because everybody thinks, oh, sports, it's so great. Guys, I want to tell you something, and I'm going to say something maybe that sounds very extreme. But sports may not be worse than many people's addictions to movies, drinking, drugs. You know why? Because you have to ask yourself, why? Gambling? Why? Rabosai. Why? Why do we get so obsessed? Anytime you're obsessed with anything, where is it coming from? Ask yourselves, why am I spending so much time on this? Why am I doing that? Because there's no way there's going to be a good answer to that question. When you're obsessed, anybody who binge watches TV shows for hours a day, nobody's going to say that's healthy. Nobody's going to say that's a good thing, that's a positive thing. I want you to think about that question. Why do I spend so much time watching? And if you really get honest with yourselves, and why you really, you know, people are like, you're literally listening to like Michael Kay on the radio, or you're listening to Mad Dog. Why? Because these guys know any better. You know how many times Mad Dog has said on the radio when I was a kid, how many times he guaranteed this team won't lose, and they lost? The guy doesn't know anything about sports. And but people listen to him like he's like, because we're so obsessed, we want to hear everything about it. I want to hear about my team. I want to read news on my team. I want to, the second Shabbat says, I have to check on my team. Guys, that's not healthy. If you're waking up the first thing in the morning, you're checking your sports scores, you think that's a healthy thing? You think that's a good thing? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about, do you think what you're doing is really something which is productive? Because, to end off in 30 seconds, the disgusting people who are at these games, who are watching these games, the people who are screaming and yelling, and you know, I'm willing to venture that the guy's income, very often it correlates. The guy is probably a very low-class person. The guy who's sitting and screaming and cursing. You know why? Because we have better values. Because another person watching the game, when an Israeli goes to a game, you know what? I want to watch a game, I want to enjoy it. But it's not that important to me. I don't get emotionally attached to it. I have so many more important things. Just think about it.
Okay, we'll open the floor to questions. If anybody has any particular point to questions of what we said or what we didn't say, you can feel free to ask. Okay, so I'll present the question over Herschel. Hopefully it will begin some conversation. In the last few years, and you saw in the title, so we live in a world of FanDuel and DraftKings and... you know, I imagine that by the smirks on most of your faces, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to take a poll, I'm not going to show of hands, but I imagine that there are at least one or two people in this room that have, you know, FanDuel accounts, DraftKings accounts, you know, you're following overtime sports or Bleacher Reports or whatever it is, and you're religiously reading, you know, whatever comes out, you know, over the course of a week, and certainly during the NFL season. So, Rabbi Herschel, the question is there any room for, gambling in the world of sports, putting our interest into a game in a way that's you know, going to cause us financial, us financial loss. And is there any room from a hashkafa, from a Torah perspective, in doing so?
The simple answer is no. I mean, there's no way. I mean, I just want to preface that gambling destroys lives. Destroys. It's playing with fire. And, you know, I sometimes speak to people about, you know, sports gambling, rocket gambling, any other gambling that there is out there. And you're mamish. You're literally playing with fire. And people say, yeah, I know, Rabbi, I know I'm playing with fire. No. Nobody that knows they're playing with fire plays with fire. Guys, sports should be something you enjoy. You don't need external things to help you enjoy it. Some people tell me, no, because if you're gambling to make money, obviously, that's terrible, disastrous. But some people say, it gives me extra incentive. Guys, we're not, if I was clear, we don't follow sports for the sake of following sports. It's not like a mile. Oh, I need an incentive to get me into davening. Okay, I understand that. I need an incentive to get me into learning. You don't need an incentive to get you into sports. If you're a person that sports is making you a better person, or sports helps you here and there, then great. If not, you shouldn't need external things. It's like, again, it's not such a great mashal, but if you go to your friend's wedding, your best friend's wedding, and you need to get drunk to have a good time at your friend's wedding, something missing about that. There's something lacking. It's a little bit like, it's a little bit pathetic. You need to get drunk at your friend's wedding, your best friend's wedding, to enjoy your best friend's wedding. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, if you need to have external things to help you, then it's not something which, it's not a value. It's not an inherent value, sports. It's only if it can work. Only if it's something that helps you. But I would like to ask you a question.
Yeah.
You know, we really overlapped in certain ideas because we're speaking about the value of sports and watching sports. Obviously, I want to tell you guys, I believe that playing sports is 1,000 times healthier and better for you than following sports. What are your thoughts, if I can ask you, about you see it a little bit more directly because I'm not, but following sports. What do you see as the downfalls, the dangers?
There are obviously, and I think it comes back to the gambling conversation, and just to like give a little bit of a hashkafic spin on this, obviously there's a lot of talent involved and a lot of preparation involved and a lot of reflection involved after a game ends. But certainly in the world of gambling, so we leave and depend on chance in a way that often is unhealthy. When we speak about, you know, favorites and underdogs, and when we talk about spreads, and when we talk about, terminology we use to speak about who we anticipate is going to win a particular game, who's going to win a particular series, the NLCS or whatever series it is. At the end of the day, it's really anybody's game, almost any given night, and we, from our human perspective, assume and think and read up on and, you know, all of the different facts and all of the different who's injured and who's probable and who's doubtful and who's made, and we think that that the world operates in the way in which a sports game happens and a sports game takes place, and we leave so much to chance. And I think, Rabbi Herschel, just to bolster this idea, As Jews, we believe that, there perhaps is room for chance. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world that's guided, a world that's focused, a world that's directed, and a world that there's very little chance that takes place in our world. We live in a world of hashkacha pratis. We live in a world in which we understand that we all have a relationship and a connection with Ribbono Shel Olam, with the creator of the world. And when we become so enveloped in the world of chance, in the world of sports, in the world of maybe yes, maybe no, maybe an upset, maybe a 45-point victory. So there are obviously those games that are easily predictable at the outset. But then there are games that are left up to chance, and we begin to develop a worldview that, okay, so sports are dependent on chance, and anybody can win the whatever matchup it is in the NCAA tournament, and anybody could, and slowly it starts to get into our minds that, you know, just like there could be an upset over there, so there could be an upset over here, and just like the 2-15 game in the NCAA tournament, you know, the 15th ranked team defeated the number 2 ranked team. So, you know, maybe my life is chance, and maybe it's all dependent on chance. And it removes often, you know, Akash Baruch Hu from the entire equation. And I think that we have to remember, and we have to remind ourselves that Hashem runs the world, Hashem guides the world, that, you know, we could put X amount of dollars down on a game, and at the end of the day, we have no clue. We have no idea. We don't have any, insight into what's going to happen. How many people make their March Madness brackets and then, I knew it, I had that game. If I had won that second round game, then I for sure would have won my... And we look back in hindsight and we say, wow, how much of this is actual chance? And when we compare that to what goes on before the first round of the NCAA tournament, I guarantee you this 8-9 game is, you know, going to Wake Forest. Now, you know nothing about Wake Forest other than what they told you on ESPN yesterday, right? But I know, and you're so confident about that 8-9 game. And then the next day, when whatever seed wins, okay. It's all about chance, and when chance starts to instill itself into our lives in a way that is so overwhelming, I think it becomes extremely unhealthy, and it unfortunately removes the guide and the plan of Akash Baruch's world from our midst. So that's what I would respond.
I think you learn a lot about colleges, you know, Villanova. When did you ever hear of that school? Wake Forest,
yeah.
Gonzaga,
yeah,
right?
Gonzaga.
All these schools. I just want to say one thing, which one of my rebates, and I'm going to call on you. We'll call on you guys in one second. Is that? And it sounds like I'm about to say kfira. You know, good thing that it's not on believing in God here. But today and sheer. But I once heard one of my rebates say such a great line, and this is so important for your lives. Which is, he was saying it regarding something else, but he said, Hashem can't compete with Superman. Elephant from the Mirror said this. And I don't know if you've ever heard him, but he's basically said that it's so difficult if you're so distracted all the time and you're so obsessed with other things, it takes away. It takes away from you being able to focus on Hashem. And if you become obsessed with anything, it takes away your ability to be successful in anything. But yeah, you had a question down there. Sorry.
Yes. Well, what's the difference between...
Sorry? Time?
Last question.
Oh.
We'll
give you another question.
Well, say like buying a lottery ticket, both are giving money to organizations that are quote unquote like hitting people's lives down. If you view that as lost money, so it's like what at that you can like spend your money for
those. I mean, you're asking what's the difference between like gambling and lottery? I couldn't really hear what, yeah? I mean, lottery. Almost nobody, I don't think anybody really maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think many people have addictions to lottery. I think everybody understands when it comes to lottery, I have no say in winning this. I have no clue what's going to happen.
It's in the realm of possibility.
Luck. What?
I mean, buy a lottery ticket under the assumption that, like, I might be one of the, 15 million people, you know, when you bet on a game and you have, 50-1 odds on whatever team it is, so you're like, wow, you know, I could do that, you know.
It happens to be a great question, and it's also a lucky question. Yeah. What's the difference between gambling and buying a lottery ticket? Because you'll hear of Rabbanim sometimes that may have bought lottery tickets every once a week, you know. And whereas, but it's a little bit of a different story. Let's just, because I told two people,
go.
So yeah. Sorry.
Recently, there's been like Orthodox Jews, i.e. Ryan Terrell and Jacob Steinmetz, that have like gone into the sports world, the professional sports. So my question is like is there like such an issue with like looking up to these people, and like when you're growing up, like having these people as like your role models and stuff?
So I don't know them as person, you know, as people. I watch the way that they play on the court, and I watch the way that they interact with people. You know, these are wholesome people from my perspective. am I dreaming that my son becomes the an NBA star that does whatever he does? You know, I'm not sure. But, you know, I can certainly look up to their midos, and I can certainly look up to the way that they, you know, the way that they act and the way that they play and their, the way that they go about things as people. I think that, you know, again, I just see the way that they act on the court. I know nothing about what happens off the court, and that's the first thing that, you know, if my son wanted to become a mensch because Ryan Terrell was a mensch, you know, so I think that that's a wonderful thing.
We'll stop with that.
Great. Okay. I wish you have a wonderful evening.